Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, what's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. A pen, but no paper. Something to make me feel smart, Anthony. I try to put it up here in my ear, even though I have headphones on, so it looks a little silly.
A lot of silly.
Yeah, looks probably extra silly from you looking at it from the side. Couldn't really see it from the front. I'm feeling a lot silly because I've been hanging out with a 4-year-old all weekend. So the niece was in town with my sister-in-law, which was great fun. It was her first time on an airplane. And it was a great weekend. I was at the zoo earlier today. And parents out there, I have so much respect for you. Watching my sister-in-law parent with our assistance on this one, her husband was back at home with the baby, so they've got two. I'm exhausted.
I mean, you spend a day walking around at the zoo in the sun.
Well, that's definitely with part a 4-year-old. That's definitely part of it. Today was the sun. I'm trying to hydrate. I'm trying to fuel back up. I'm like, should I have had an extra coffee? There's just a lot of energy spent at all times. You have to be on at all times because you never know when you're gonna have to play hide and go seek. You never know when you're gonna have to be silly goose on demand. You just want to sit there on your phone for a few and veg out, let your mind escape to no man's land. And then when it's time for their nap time, I almost fell asleep actually today on our couch at 12:30, 1 o'clock.
Nice.
Yeah. But also not nice because we have a show that it doesn't end until 7.
I mean, you know, power naps are essential.
Yeah.
Even if you get like 20, 30, effective.
Yeah. I used to be a huge fan of the 20 minute nap, especially.
Uh-huh.
You go through like one sleep cycle. It's really, really good. There's also, a real next level trick. Now, this is dangerous. It's for if you know you're going to have to stay up later because you don't want caffeine in your system too late at night, boys and girls. Really, you shouldn't drink. This is going to offend so many people. Ideally, I'm going to use that word. Ideally, you should not drink caffeine past noon. So some people drink coffee like all day. There's people drinking coffee, their fourth coffee or their eighth coffee, driving home right now, being like, shut up, Hoffman. You don't know my life. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I get it. But if you don't mind a little coffee in your system later than is optimal, based off science and stuff, what the sleep people would tell you, the coffee nap is a really good one. You drink coffee, and then you take a 20-minute nap, like immediately. So drink the coffee, lay down.
And you wake up energized.
And then, right, exactly. You wake up as the caffeine's hitting your system, gets in the bloodstream, and now you're like, I'm rested and I'm caffeinated. Let's mess up the day. That's next level napping right there.
Yeah, I never do that one. I don't drink coffee.
Yeah, no, you don't do caffeine pretty much, period.
No.
You don't drink coffee, you don't drink tea. What else
tea,
has caffeine?
Occasionally, if like my voice is hoarse, right. Or
when you have
sick.
Tea, are you like bouncing off the walls, or is you typically not feeling well when you have it? So thus the caffeine, maybe it helps a little bit, but you don't really do it. Do you drink soda at all?
Rarely.
Energy
but
drinks?
But I will tell you, if I go a long time without a Sprite, like anytime I go to like my family cookout, for some reason they don't have a lot of water there. So sometimes I might fall into, get a Sprite, and Sprites are so good.
Sprites are. I thought you were going to say, like, they mess me up with caffeine. I'm like, Anthony, they're caffeine free.
I know, they're just delicious.
Yeah, they also have a ton of sugar. yeah. part of the deliciousness. I had something. Oh, what did I have? Oh, I had a sweet tea. We do a HelloFresh, and occasionally they send like extra random stuff.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it's great. There's like a green salsa, like a cilantro salsa verde situation that they send sometimes. And I'm like, hell yeah. They sent the good green taco sauce. But they sent us like a bottle of sweet tea last week. I had like a sip and a half, and I was like, I am drinking pure cane sugar. This is a lot. Some people are like, what's the brand? Sign me up. I was like, this is aggressive. I'm good on that. So anyway, parents, salute to you. There's a couple of times my wife looked at each other and was like, so do we want to become parents eventually, or do we like our nice schedules and flexibility and alertness and not feeling tired and like we are paying attention to a small human being that relies upon us to stay alive needs at all time? Although the fun that we had makes the answer, yeah, no, it's worth it. Kids are great. We had great, great fun. But I wish I had taken today off is really the moral of that story, Anthony. That was a poor job. Not that I'm not excited to do the show. Not that I'm not excited to talk to everybody out in Radio Land. Not that I'm excited to see you, Anthony. I probably should have been better to myself.
Well, guess what, Craig? I'm glad you're here.
Now that I'm here, it's time to get to work. So with that, I'm going to keep hydrating. We're going to talk about Jair Alexander and whether or not the Commanders should pursue him. We'll talk about game one of the NBA Finals. We will talk about Terry McLaurin's contract. We'll do some of that with guests as well. Greg Matzik is going to join us coming up at 5. He works up in Milwaukee covering the Packers. So just who is Jair Alexander as a player? Why did it go sideways in Green Bay? Why is he available? And then also J.I. Halsell, salary cap analyst and NFL agent, is going to join us at 5:30 on what he thinks McLaurin is worth on the open market. So we will, or not on the open market, in his current market where he is. Got 1 year remaining with the Commanders. So we'll do all that. Again, the NBA stuff as well. French Open, there's some great stuff to talk about there. One of the great matches ever on the men's side and some very interesting comments from the woman who lost on the ladies' side of the draw. So all of that still to come on a Monday here on The Hoffman Show.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Coming up at 4:30, we'll discuss whether or not the Commanders should pursue Jair Alexander, and we'll do that with you at 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980 is our phone number here on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Anthony, we gotta make sure we don't wear like matching colored shirts again. It kind of looks funny on camera. That also, I love this shirt. It's like a Jordan brand shirt, but I always forget it looks terrible on camera. It's just like a baggier fit, and so I look like I'm wearing like a pajama shirt and I'm a small child.
Like when you're outside, like it looks cool, but like on camera it doesn't have the same aesthetic.
No, it doesn't. I don't know. Now I'm asking for it in the comments, so see if anybody's actually watching today. See if anybody's actually paying attention today. Or just boost my confidence. Tell me that I look great.
You look great, Craig.
Thanks, Anthony. I appreciate you. All right. Last night, NBA Finals Game 1. We will discuss that now. And it's a bit of an interesting game, Anthony. Because I think people look like I was listening to a couple of podcasts and it's just like Thunder dominate. They bounce back. That's the Thunder. That's who they are. And like, this is true. This is 100% true. This is who the Thunder is, a team that wins by double digits. And at the end of the day, I'm not trying to pretend like anything other than that the Thunder won by, 16 points is what happened. But it was kind of a weird game because it was close throughout most of the first quarter. Thunder go on a mini run to end it. It's 26-20 at the end of the first quarter. Then, in the second quarter, Indiana goes ice cold. But it wasn't like one of these Thunder... Like, when the Thunder did this to Minnesota, it was a zillion turnovers. And it was like, wow, Indiana can't get... Or Minnesota can't get the ball past the hash mark. This is crazy. Indiana was getting shots and missing them, and there was a couple of turnovers in there, and they were good challenges. Like, it was very, very good, solid Thunder defense. But it wasn't like this unbelievable deluge of terribleness like the Timberwolves had at time where they didn't look like an NBA basketball team. So you have a 17-2 run in the second quarter by Oklahoma City where... You know, Rick Carlisle ultimately calls the vaunted back-to-back timeouts. You know, the NBA is a league of runs. Team scores, opposing coach calls timeout. They bounce back, other coach. And if you ever get a back-to-back same coach calling timeout, pretty good chance that there's a significant lead that has opened up. And that's exactly what happened. And then a lot of times in NBA games, you know, eventually even on a back-to-back, like there's some moment of tension later in the game. And that never really happened. The lead never was single digits, I don't believe, again, into the second half. But Indiana won the second half. And I realize that it's not a tight, competitive fourth quarter, but they still won the fourth quarter. They won it 33-30. They only lost the second quarter by one, a quarter by in which, by the way, the Thunder have been dominant all year. They make their runs in the third quarter. And so you have basically three quarters of this game played incredibly close and one quarter where there's a 17-2 run in the middle. And that 15-point swing is basically the difference in the game. And it very much felt that way watching the second half where you're just like, man, if Indiana could make a run, they're maintaining contact. It's not getting any worse. Because sometimes you have that where it's like, oh, they go on a run and it's 10, and but slowly but surely it's like, oh, it's 12. Two buckets here, one bucket there. Now it's 14. Two buckets there, one bucket there. There's a three involved. Now it's 15 or 17. Like, it steadily grows. That's not what happened. Like, if I'm Indiana... Ultimately, if I look at the two games, I stole game one, and we played okay for the most part in game two. We have to put together 48 minutes, and we know the Thunder aren't going to give us anything, and they have options. But it's not like I think the Thunder found anything that was like, oh my God, unlocked. This series is over. And there's a lot of things that if I'm looking at it from the Indiana side of it, I'm like, oh, we can fix that, or if we hit those shots that we can definitely get again, then we're going to be in good shape, and I don't feel bad about our chances to, you know, do what we need to do at home and put some real pressure on Oklahoma City and see if we can pull an upset in this series.
Yeah, like, off of that point, I definitely think the Thunder have been the better team through the first two games.
No doubt.
But at the same token, they aren't world beaters. Like, they can, like, the Pacers can beat them. And I think the points you just raised were, you know, there are stretches of the game where, you know, OKC gets the better of them. But my thing is, I feel as though the Pacers only play, I guess we only see the Pacers play solid or good when they're trailing. And, like, I think most of the series, they've just been trailing and, you know, going on runs here and there. And game one, yes, they did steal it. But I think playing from behind against this OKC team, you can't necessarily do that because you fall too far behind. They might not let you back in like they did in game one. So, I mean, but also the playoffs have been weird. You know, the Pacers have, you know, played from behind. They have been able to pull, come back and, you know, win games. But at the same token, in the NBA Finals, playing against this Thunder team where, you know, Tyrese Haliburton is constantly trying to figure out seek out a mismatch, and you just don't have that. So I think his impact, for one, has been limited to an extent. But it's just... It's tough sledding when you can't get a lot going, when the game is tight, and then, you know, you finally get things going when you're trailing from behind. But I don't think you can do that against this team.
Yeah, it's tough because some of the matchup stuff is not what, like, you're not going to be able to exploit mismatches against this Oklahoma City team the way you can other teams. I mean, even guys like Kenrich Williams come in, and they're good basketball players who understand. It's actually a great point. I was listening to Kevin O'Connor's podcast on the way in today, amongst a couple of others that I sampled. And I forget the name of his guest. There's not someone that I was familiar with, but a very, very good guest. So shout out to him. And sorry, I can't remember your name, but you're on the Kevin O'Connor show. So that's good. That's a big basketball podcast. But he made a really good, or made a, they made a couple of really good points, including that, you know, something that we've said. Against 28 teams, there's a certain way that you need to play and you'll be fine, or you can play and you're fine. That might not be the same solution against Oklahoma City, but in many ways, it's the same way as true back the other way for Indiana, where it's like, there's a relentlessness that Indiana plays with that most teams can't match. And it's why in the second half of the season, once they got all their pieces in place, they were one of the five best teams in the league, right? Record-wise, not, it's not a subjective, objectively, based off win percentage, they were one of the five best teams in the league. And Oklahoma City actually can match that. And they have 8 or 9 guys or 10 guys that they trust, and they can find amongst those 10, 8 or 9 in any given series to mismatch. And then the other point that the guys that made that was really good is both these teams have a distinct identity, and they have enough pieces that even when Halliburton or SGA goes out, they don't really lose that identity, right? Like some teams, that's not the only way to do it. There are some teams that like, hey, when our star is in, we run this kind of system, this kind of offense, because he's the only guy that can do that. And then we have kind of this second unit that runs a different way and presents a different challenge. And that's good because in the playoffs, maybe we lean into that style a little bit more or whatever. But with Indiana, and this is what makes the Halliburton discussion so interesting, is you don't, unless you're looking for it, you don't necessarily notice that he's missing until you go, wait a second, they're down. What's Halliburton doing? Because they run so much stuff with Nembhard anyway, with Nesmith anyway, with Siakam anyway, that Halliburton's getting a touch and he's giving it up and whatever. He's standing over in the corner. And it's like, no. Eventually, you need to go get the ball and you need to isolate yourself and make a play. They're going to give you the mid-range. Take the mid-range. You don't need to give up a B shot in terms of shot quality in search of an A shot, because against the Oklahoma City Thunder, the A shots aren't going to come. Our best bet, if we're the Pacers, is you taking a B shot. And to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's credit, like, that is something he, I think, fundamentally understands, is that he is extraordinarily aggressive taking what the defense gives him. And in the modern NBA, they will give you that mid-range. And so I'm going to get downhill, and if I can beat your defense, great. I'm gonna get the layup. If I can't, and I'm going to have to stop somewhere short of that because you block me off, well, now I can either take a pull-up mid-range, or maybe you singularly, defender, have cut me off, but I can probably post you up. And I've essentially, instead of having to have someone post-entry pass me, I can just dribble down to the block, turn around, fade away over either shoulder, and that we consider that a good shot in our offense. And I think, game 3, Indiana's going to have to come out telling Tyrese Halliburton, we need you to take some of that. We need you to take more shots and, relentlessly pursue what the defense gives you and realize that it might not always be the shot that we want against 28 other teams or even 30 other teams, because we can't play ourselves and they're one of one.
Yeah, I think the Tyrese Halliburton angle is definitely important because, again, he's only averaging 4.5 points in the first half in these first two games. That is not enough from your superstar. I get he had 12 points in the fourth, but the game's out of reach. And my thing is, like, if you are going to be a superstar, you can't only just be a closer. Like, you got to be able, start the game fast, get involved, especially in games of this magnitude. So, to your point, I expect him definitely to come out a little bit stronger, a little bit more aggressive to start the game, because they're going to need that. And I think also, what Alex Caruso did to Pascal Siakam yesterday, man, it makes for the series to be that much more interesting, just because if you can take away Pascal Siakam, now you're limiting these guys a little bit more, because he's one of the guys, I think, that can score one-on-one kind of thing.
Yeah, it's interesting listening to some of the analysis of why OKC didn't go to the double big lineup at all in game one. They went to it a little bit in game two. And the answer is very simply, Pascal Siakam exists, and he is a double, like, he is a big man killer. So if you try to guard him with a big man, he can guard your big. Your big can't guard him. And so what Dagenau did in game two was fine. Hey, this is the end of Siakam's stint. He's about to come out. We know there are rotations. Or he's just flat out. Now we're going to play the double big lineup and make someone else who's not Pascal Siakam deal with it. And so they found ways. And then it's kind of, you know, the card they played on Anthony Edwards and to a larger extent, even Julius Randle in the Minnesota series, where it's like, or game seven against Jokic. Didn't Caruso guard Jokic? That was the...
He's guarded everybody. Yeah. Jaren Jackson in round one, Jokic round game seven, Anthony Edwards, he was harassing him. And now we see him on Pascal Siakam. This guy, he's the X Factor, man.
His ability to guard bigs is crazy. And Siakam is that. Because, like, Siakam's thing is, I can either take you on the perimeter because you're a big and you're uncomfortable out here, or I'll take you down the post because you're a guard. Caruso's one of the few guys in the league that you can't do either to, because he's equally good on the perimeter as a defender, and he's strong enough and long enough that he bothers you inside. So that is definitely something to watch. How do you get Siakam away from Caruso, or are you able to generate enough offense elsewhere, which is where obviously Halliburton comes back majorly into the equation. All right, we'll talk more finals as we go. We'll hit some W later on in the show in our weekend preview, or our weekend in review as well. Coming up next, though, Jaire Alexander. He is going to be released by the Packers in the next couple of days. Should Washington pursue? We'll discuss next on the Team 980.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, it's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. The Packers, I need to change the graphic now because it just happened. The Packers have released Jaire Alexander, their star cornerback, who is one of the best DBs they've had in the last, you know, 20, 25 years. They've had some good ones, obviously. Guys like Charles Woodson, certainly a Hall of Famer that you put over him. But Alexander has been a sensational player for most of the 7 years he was in Green Bay. However, he's missed 20 games over the last two seasons with knee and shoulder injuries. Multiple showdowns with Terry McLaurin over the years. But they just literally, I think, in the last 10 minutes, officially put out the social media post, thank you, Jaire, and it now... done the paperwork, and Jaire Alexander is released by the Green Bay Packers. So, of course, what happens when this news breaks this morning that the Packers are expected to release Jaire Alexander? Anthony Haney asked me, should the Commanders sign him?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. What do you think? By the way, what a weekend for you getting asked what you think of players. We can keep most of that story. I don't know. It's not that big of a deal. It's just, you know, one of the general managers in town saw Anthony at another sporting event and recognized him and said, hey, what should we do with this thing? And I don't think he's going to listen. But anyway, Anthony, I'll listen to you. What should the Commanders be interested in Jaire Alexander?
All right, so I have two ways of looking at this. One, I don't want the rich to get richer. And when I initially saw that, you know, he was probably going to end up getting released, he's due money this year, so I don't think money is of the essence. I think he's going to try to go out there, play on a one-year deal. Granted, he'll, like, want $6, $7, $8 million. I don't know. Nothing too crazy, though, where he's demanding too much money. But I think a team like the Chiefs, the Eagles, the Bills, like one of those teams that have been contending for, like, years to come, I just don't want those teams to get rich. And it sort of kind of seems like an Eagles, you know, landing spot.
Here's what I'll say. Buffalo and the Packers have been trying to work out a deal. They couldn't figure it out. So I think Buffalo has to go in as the favorite here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and I think Jaire, he didn't necessarily want to restructure. And also the Bills probably didn't want to, you know, take on his contract. So now they don't have to pay him that much. Why
you better meet our criteria, otherwise we're going to cut him and let you sign him for free.
Yep.
Oh, no.
That's exactly what's going to happen. But I think for Washington's sake, I think we've invested too much in the cornerback position already. I will love him here just, you know, have as a depth piece. But at the same token, I think it would be crazy to have that kind of talent on your bench, or you not allow a guy like Trey Amos to, you know, grow and develop in year one. We did spend a second round pick on him. But at the same token, with Marshawn Lattimore's history of having missed several games the last 3-4 seasons, he's a good person to have as a, you know, reliable source if he doesn't see the whole season through.
So it's worth having the discussion because he does not cost you draft capital. And like, unlike Jalen Ramsey, who I think I'd prefer to have as a player, because I think he's a more versatile player and in a secondary that I'm not quite sure exactly what they need, having a piece like Jalen Ramsey is very appealing. But Jalen Ramsey will cost you something, apparently. Dolphins still trying to facilitate a trade. We'll see if eventually they just move on and cut him. Ramsey, by the way, today, it was reported, announced, however this went down, that he is not required to report and not expected to report to Dolphins mandatory minicamp. So, like, if Terry no-shows with the contract, and again, we'll talk about that more with J.I. Halsell at 5:30, but if Terry no-shows, then he's going to get fined because those are the rules. It's mandatory minicamp, and the teams can fine you, and most often will. But they can also dismiss the fines, and that's what they're doing with Ramsey because they're trying to get him out of Miami. But giving up draft capital for Ramsey, even, who I like more, is a non-starter for me because Washington has already given up multiple draft picks. This year, they're short. They only had the 5 picks in the draft. And then next year, they're already short because of the Tunsil trade. And so, unfortunately, if you like Jair Alexander more than you like Marshawn Lattimore, you made the trade for Marshawn Lattimore, and that's the bed you're going to have to lie in. And this is, I think, actually more interesting on the Washington side to talk about than whether or not Alexander would be a fit here. Because realistically, if it's 2021 and you have Marshawn Lattimore and Jair Alexander, you have the best secondary in the league. They're also not available. And I don't need two injury-riddled, questionable guys that I can't count on that could be on the wrong side of a corner age cliff that's very, very steep, and who both, by the way, have, I'm going to call it, a double-edged sword personality, right? These are two guys that are highly, highly competitive and that occasionally manifests in ways that are unproductive. Lattimore likes to fight people on the field. Alexander likes to run his mouth. And at times that has gotten him, his mouth has written checks that his behind can't cash. And one of the cashiers in that instance going, "Where's my money?" has been Terry McLaurin. I don't know how much those guys like each other. Sometimes the guy that you hate playing is the guy that you actually, he's going to be on my team. Sick, bring him in. And I feel like Terry's that kind of guy. And Jair would be that kind of guy. But, like, I don't know that he goes about his business in the way that Dan Quinn wants to go about his business. Yes, they want highly competitive people, but there's a respect. Like, Bobby Wagner's the ideal guy. Bobby Wagner doesn't trash talk. Like, he will talk junk to his teammates in practice. He'll talk some smack on the field if you talk. He's not going to go run his mouth in the media in the ways that Jair Alexander does. And so if you're telling me I have a risky player on the field and a risky player off the field in terms of not like off the field, like real life stuff, I don't think Jair has had any kind of those incidents, but just purely like he might say something that I'm gonna have to talk about all week if I'm a head coach or a teammate. Why? No thanks. I already have a guy that is not gonna say anything because he doesn't talk to the media in Marshawn, but is a risk on the field. I don't want multiple risks because I want, even if it's not as good of a high ceiling, I want guys I can rely upon. And so I saw like one, I think it was Burgundy Blog, was like, you sign them both and that way you hopefully you get 17 games out of the two. Yeah, if you have unlimited roster spots, but you don't. Like, that's the thing. This isn't fantasy football or fantasy football, you can't even do that because you have you don't have unlimited roster spots. Or it's not even fantasy football in that, like, who cares if a guy sits on your bench? Someone's got to be there. Not your third, fourth, fifth, sixth defensive back. Those guys need to play special teams. Jair Alexander and Marshawn Lattimore aren't playing special teams for you. And so it's just some guys need to be starters, and if they're starters, you need to be able to rely upon them as much as you can rely upon anybody in the NFL because it's a violent game. But with his injury history, with Marshawn already in tow, I think you forfeited your shot at Jaire Alexander when you traded for Marshawn Lattimore. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. Agree, disagree, let us know. 301-230-0980. Do you want Jaire Alexander in D.C.? Your calls next on The Hoffman Show. It's The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too, at the Team 980. I think right now Anthony's getting a preview of overtime tonight on 106.7 The Fan, where Linnell Willingham will yap about whatever he's yapping about. Oh, now you have the Chris Russell baseball bat. Do you think you're all big and bad because you have a plastic baseball bat and some opinions? Cool. Cool. What do you say, Anthony?
He didn't realize that was the Chris Russell memorial bat.
It's not memorial. He's not dead.
Oh, well, blame Mad Max. He coined that.
I don't know what's going on between 1 and 4. But then again, neither do they. So why am I supposed to? All right. Jaire Alexander is the topic of discussion. Greg Matzik is going to join us to discuss here in 10 minutes. Greg covers the Packers up in Milwaukee. But the thing with Alexander is, this is why you potentially keep your powder dry, right? Is you don't know what's going to come down the pike. You have to understand, and where are my options? How confident am I that something's going to happen? But then again, last year, the Commanders are making moves during the regular season to try to get things, situated at the corner spot after Forbes bonks and ultimately gets cut. And, St. Juice is unreliable in any kind of remote big situation. And they go, we need to have someone who we think we can get in here and help us sooner rather than later. The only thing about that, though, Anthony, is, and again, I don't actually know that I'd want Alexander over Lattimore. To me, they're very similar level players at this point. It's literally anybody's guess in terms of the reliability between the two. It's in terms of how many games that they've missed. But with Lattimore, there was this big, this is not just a short-term move. This is a long-term move. And if you say stuff like that, and then you potentially have a chance to do something later, and you didn't really get a whole lot in the meantime, I think it does leave the door open for questions. And ultimately, if you tell me I can get Alexander for free or Lattimore for a third-round pick, I would rather have Alexander for free. Now, I don't know enough about how they feel about him, where they might be no, he doesn't fit our system. He doesn't fit personality-wise. There might be a million reasons why that. But generally speaking, in terms of the level of the two players, I would rather have the one that didn't cost me a draft pick because I didn't get a whole lot last year. Now, the other thing I will say is they've got control over Lattimore for the next 2 years. And that was a part of why the draft pick was so high as well. But I think that you just have... I'm always for maintaining flexibility where you can, unless you are ready to full-on commit to something in a major way. And I don't know that Marshawn Lattimore was the guy that they should have committed to yet. And that's still a giant TBD. He works out this year, and yeah, it's worth it. But we're still very much in the TBD phase, and that's why it's hard to evaluate these things. You're not the person who's supposed to be talking right now.
I'm not, but I couldn't help but.
Oh God!
Hearing you chew on this, I couldn't.
Could you at least come in here? Fine. Just
put me on camera.
We're too late in the segment. Yeah. Just go, Linnell. Okay, fine. Welcome to the show.
So thank you for having me as always. So. This is what I guess I'm flipping.
Kool-Aid man burst through the wall. Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to flip it back on you because I kind of hopped in mid-segment.
Okay, go.
Are you telling me when they were both, first of all, they're both the issue with Jaire and Marshawn and why they were expendable by their teams is the injury history.
Yes.
Jaire's is slightly worse than Marshawn's. And
sure.
I think Jaire's the better player, though.
My whole thing is I haven't done enough tape work on Jaire Alexander to have a strong opinion on who he is as a player. I know that the last time I don't feel like there's ever been a talk of a drop off of Jaire Alexander in the way there was on Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah.
right? So one, Jair might be. But you cannot, I don't think it would be wise at this point to sign Jair Alexander and then have them both here. And I'm not cutting Marshawn Lattimore to make room for Jair Alexander because I've already made the bet. I mean, I guess you could and just consider it sunk cost.
The picks, I would say
there's no money to eat. Like, this is the silly thing about everything that we talk about with the Commanders. Or, like, even we had a comment in our YouTube stream that's like, Samuel says, we need to get Terry done before signing anyone. Plus, I think they are good at CB. And the Terry part is irrelevant. Who cares? They have so much cap space.
And that doesn't affect this year either. That would be next year's cap, wouldn't it?
No, it's this year's cap. I mean, unless they sign him to a multi-year deal.
Terry.
Oh, no, Terry. Right. Well, Terry could also probably, Terry's cap number might come down this year.
Just
often it does in the first year. Can you redo this year? But they don't need, they have cap space. Cap space is not an issue. So, like, the idea that you have to do order of operations in some way to make the cap work, unlike me in Madden right now, I'm dealing with the 2032 Commanders trying to get him under the cap because Jaden's got a $90 million cap hit.
Is that what the contract was when you signed him?
I've restructured probably one too many times. I made some cap management mistakes.
That's the cool thing about Madden now. I think this was the first year they allowed you to restructure contracts.
Yeah, except for I can't move the money around in the way. Like, I can't really restructure. Yeah, it's just like
pushes it all for a year, basically.
It's just like, hey, restructure the way we say. Okay, cool. That helps me now, but I don't realize how much you're screwing me later. Anyway, the point is, you're not dealing with the 2032 Madden Commanders in Hoffman's world where Jaden's, we're coming off our ninth straight Super Bowl, which is good, but we are in cap hell because Jaden's costed $90 million, and I did just lose like three premier free agents because I couldn't re-sign anybody. But the point is, it comes down to the fact that you've already made the bet on Marshawn Lattimore, and so you kind of have to run out that ground ball, in my opinion, versus, and certainly you're not bringing in both of them. So unless you're about to propose, I think Jair Alexander's better and more reliable, so I'm just going to cut Marshawn Lattimore. I don't want both of them here.
Did you see anything of him on social today from media?
Lattimore? No. Yeah. They sure put Tunsil out there.
Yeah, I know. So the fact that they didn't put Marshawn out there, either he's skipping media day and showing up tomorrow, which would like, I get weird vibes around his situation because everything you hear about him from like people in New Orleans, he's an introvert. I don't know how much he really wanted to come here. He got traded here. He didn't really have a choice, it feels like. I'm not saying he's disgruntled or anything like that, but I don't think it's a huge nothing burger that he just chose to skip every opportunity to meet his teammates.
I mean, this is what he's done, and sometimes these guys have routines. And I know it's. I will say this. I feel of the three guys that are out, Terry, zero problem. Understand the situation. Tunsil, minuscule problem. Would like you to be here to meet your new teammates, but this, you have earned it, and you're still playing at a high level when you don't jump off sides, which was a systemic problem in Houston for everybody last year. And a lot of them, even if you go inside, like some of those were like on third and long type deals, and like it was a weird bit. Yeah. Anyway, Lattimore, I feel differently about. And I don't know if I've been wrestling with whether or not that is fair. But that's how I feel. I do feel like it's different.
You're
I do feel like there's
feelings.
Something. Thank you, Leno.
There we go.
It was like a reverse football therapy.
You took the words right out of my mouth. That was
literally he's validating my feelings, everybody.
There we go.
All right, what do you got on overtime tonight?
We're going to go through the bombshell that was dropped in the Baltimore Sun this morning about the Kevin Willard detailed him and Damon Edmonds fallout and the swear-filled text message that was sent right before he took the podium and had that terrible press conference.
Oh, I somehow missed that story.
It is juicy. You're not going to believe some of the stuff that's in there.
Okay, well, Anthony, I think we just figured out what's at 6:15.
Yeah, you should definitely tap into that.
I was busy at the zoo playing Uncle Craig this morning. The Baltimore Sun, my morning reading.
You look a little darker over there.
Yeah, I've been out in the sun a little bit this weekend. Your boy's tired. But that's okay. That's how we started the show. But we're chucking on, and we have great guests in the 5 o'clock hour. We had an unplanned guest there in Linnell. Greg Matzik, who is at WTMJ in Milwaukee, is going to join us. Talk about Alexander Moore next, and then coming up at 5:30, J.I. Halsell on the McLaurin contract. So got all that still to come. Plus, we're going to talk about this Kevin Willard thing later in the show. I didn't even know that till right now. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, and we're always live as well on the free Odyssey app.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.